Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. And today on the docket, first, will the circus be coming back to town? And two, we have two more contestants for the Dumb Criminal of the Week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. And first of all, I want to give out a big thank you. If you have not noticed, we just went over 66,000 subscribers. But we understand that that is not really what we do. It's because of what you have done, and that is hit that subscribe button. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Would not be possible without you. I've said this before. We started this channel because people just didn't get a whole lot of in-depth information beyond what they heard from the local anchor who didn't know the difference between an arraignment and a preliminary hearing, and we wanted to be able to provide some of that insight. So if you like the channel, please subscribe. If you've already done that, thank you. If you'd like to receive notifications, hit that bell, and always leave a comment. First on the docket, will the circus be coming back to town? Yes, that's right. Jodi Arias. That case is back at the Arizona Court of Appeals this week. In fact, the hearing was today. And the issue was basically, should she get a new trial based upon the complete circus-like atmosphere that took place during that trial? We'll get to the facts in just a second. One thing that wasn't discussed or brought up today was the fact that the then prosecutor, who's still a prosecutor, but now has been transferred to doing auto theft cases, a very experienced attorney, which is unusual for someone who has previously handled death penalty cases, which the Arias case was, and that's because he has been accused of sexual harassment allegations. So, for those of you who do not recall the specifics or are not even familiar with the Jodi Arias case, let me just tell you, it was a circus. Travis Victor Alexander was a boyfriend of Jodi Arias. They had been dating for some time, and basically it had been known that in 2008, Alexander told people that he was going to take Arias on a work-related trip to Cancun, Mexico. But later in the year, like in April, Alexander changed his mind to have another female friend accompany him to Mexico. Ultimately, on June 4th of 2008, Alexander was killed. He sustained 27 to 29 stab wounds, a slit throat, and a gunshot wound to the head. On June 2nd, between 1 and 3 a.m., Arias called Alexander four times, but didn't appear to have any kind of lengthy conversation. The longest call was approximately 17 seconds. And after 3 a.m., Alexander called Arias twice, the first time for 18 minutes, the second time for 41 minutes. And at 4:03 a.m., Arias called Alexander back. The last call lasted 2 minutes and 48 seconds. Neither of these calls or transcripts were presented at the trial. However, at 5:39 a.m., it was documented that Arias set out to drive south to rent a car for a long trip to Utah, and stated in evidence by a gasoline purchase at Shell Food Mart in Rica. So Arias rents a car from Budget Rent-A-Car in Redding, California. She indicates she would return the car to Budget in Redding. Arias visits a friend in Southern California on her way to Utah for a work conference. And so by late evening on June 3rd, she sets out for Salt Lake City. Now it was determined that Alexander missed an important conference call on June 4th, and the following day, Arias met up with a gentleman by Mr. Burns in Salt Lake City, Utah, and attended the meetings and the conference. Burns said that he noticed that Arias' formerly blonde hair was now dark and that she had cuts on her hand. On June 6th, Arias left Salt Lake City, drove west towards California. She called Alexander several times, and she left voicemail messages for him on his phone. She also accessed Alexander's cell phone voicemail. When Arias returned the car on June 7th, it had been driven about 2,800 miles. The rental clerk testified that the car was missing its floor mats and it had red stains on the front and rear seats. That information could not be corroborated because the vehicle had already been cleaned before the police had a time to inspect it. On June 9th, friends had not heard from Alexander, so a couple of friends went to the home. His friends ultimately entered the house, and they found a large pool of blood in the hallway that led to the master bedroom, where they discovered his body, which was in the shower. On the 911 call, the friends specifically mentioned Arias as a possible suspect because Alexander had stated that she had been stalking him, accessing his Facebook accounts, and slashing his car tires. One of the more important pieces of evidence was deleted images showing Arias and Alexander in sexually suggestive poses that were taken about 1:40 p.m. on June 4th. And the final photograph of Alexander alive showing him in the shower was taken about 5:29 p.m. that day. Photos taken moments later show an individual believed to be Alexander profusely bleeding on the bathroom floor. A bloody palm print was discovered along the wall in the bathroom hallway, and it contained DNA from both Arias and Alexander. Ultimately, Arias is charged with murder via indictment in Maricopa County, Arizona, and she's extradited back from California to Arizona to stand trial. What was bizarre about this particular case is not just that the prosecution put on witnesses, they presented evidence, and they laid out their theory. It was the defense case. Arias took the stand in her own defense, and yes, she was on the stand for 18 days, okay? That is crazy. That is unbelievable. And the jurors, who ultimately convicted Ms. Arias, believed that she was a terrible witness. She contradicted herself and caught herself in so many lies that it was just somewhat sad. No one needs to be on the stand for 18 days. On May 7th of 2013, Arias was found guilty after 15 hours of jury deliberations. Out of the 12 jurors, 5 jurors found her guilty of first-degree premeditated murder, and 7 jurors found her guilty of both first-degree premeditated murder and felony murder. As the guilty verdict was read, Alexander's family smiled and hugged in the courtroom, and people outside began cheering and chanting. Then they moved on to the aggravation phase, where the prosecution was required to convince the jury that the murder was cruel, heinous, or depraved in order for them to determine if Ms. Arias was in fact eligible for the death penalty. The jury came back that it was cruel, heinous, and depraved. During the penalty phase, Arias pleaded for a life sentence, and ultimately, the jury reached an 8-4 decision for the death penalty, which resulted in a hung jury, and a mistrial was declared. Ultimately, the matter, Ms. Arias was spared the death penalty, and then years of appeals continued. And even to this day, like we mentioned, there were oral arguments today in Arizona appellate courts, arguing that the circus surrounding this particular trial resulted in an unfair trial. Now, Ms. Arias was not in the courtroom today, as usually defendants who are in custody do not appear at appellate arguments. While in custody, though, apparently Arias's brother is selling artwork for her to help with expenses related to traveling to see her and working on her defense. We'll see how the Court of Appeals is going to rule on this. But this kind of case, this kind of circus and atmosphere, the judge had limited control over some things that he could control, but he couldn't control all of it, the media frenzy that comes with cases. We've all seen it. The cases where everybody's following, everybody has an opinion, everybody wants to see the defendant freed, or they want to see them fry for their wrongdoings. Those kind of cases are tough, but jurors take their jobs very seriously. Think about it. To get 12 people to agree unanimously on something so serious as whether a crime was committed or not, and whether somebody should be sentenced to life in prison or death or not, is significant. So that evidence has to be extremely overwhelming and powerful to get there to those proceedings. There's been nothing that I've read, and we actually looked at the filings that said that there was anything that the jurors said that resulted in an unfair trial. It's basically just the overall atmosphere of this particular case. I think Ms. Arias will spend the rest of her life in prison, and I don't think she's going to get a new case. But I've been wrong before, and if I am, I will be the first to admit it. Now, next on the docket. Two contestants for the Dumb Criminal of the Week, and we'll announce the winner tomorrow. But today, our contestants is Tommy Lee Jenkins. He is 32 years old and faces a count of use of a computer to entice a minor to engage in sexual activity. And what makes Mr. Jenkins a contestant for the Dumb Criminal of the Week is, first, he thought he was going to engage in a relationship with a 14-year-old, which clearly is impermissible in just about every jurisdiction I can possibly imagine. And what Mr. Jenkins learned was there was no 14-year-old girl on the other side of the computer, but in fact, a sheriff. But what really catapults Mr. Jenkins to the point of complete dumb criminal contestant is the fact where he walked 351 miles from Wisconsin to Indiana to have this anticipated romantic interlude. I have come up with better reasons to fly 50 miles, but 351 miles to walk? He must have had a lot of time on his hands, and man, he must really be a catch if he can't afford a bus ticket and he has that much time on his hands. Good thing there was no lucky lady at the other end except a sheriff. Now, the next contestant is a New Jersey man by the name of Richard Decker. Now, Mr. Decker has an infatuation with equine animals. Mr. Decker likes to write letters to farmers asking if it's possible if he could have a relationship with their farm animals because he wants a relationship with a horse, but given the fact where he lives, he cannot have one of his own. And what got Mr. Decker in trouble, not only basically asking to have a relationship of the sexual nature with an animal, was the fact that he took exception to the farmer saying, "What kind of creep are you?" and basically was arrested for possession of firearms and explosive devices. And apparently he also would put spikes near these farm owners' gate entrance, so that they would flatten their tires. Now, everybody knows if you're going to try to woo somebody into letting them date your daughter, your son, or your farm animals, threats are probably not the way to go about it. And that is why Mr. Decker is another contestant for the Dumb Criminal of the Week, which will be announced tomorrow. So you must tune in to see who wins and see who will ultimately get the Crime Talk mug that you too could have. But you would get it because why? No. You want to be able to send a picture to us that we can put on Facebook or Instagram, and you can have a mugshot. So if you'd like that mug, hit the link below. You can order it or any other Crime Talk gear, and you can have it within a very short time. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe if you have not already done so. If you liked the video, hit that thumbs up and leave a comment. Do you think these people are just perverts, or do you think they're just dumb? Let me know. And do you think Ms. Arias is going to get a new trial? Let me know. It certainly would make for some good YouTube commentary. Have a great day. Thanks for watching Crime Talk.